Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Power of Love, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and I have both of my brothers here, Taj and Terrell Jackson. How are you, fellas?
What's going on?
I was waiting for him.
I know.
I wanted to see what kind of hello he was going to get.
I know. I didn't give you hello. I said, what's going on?
I thought I was going to give more like, hello.
Well, there you go. As the brothers decide what kind of hello each other's going to give, I'm here to tell you that we are live on the Power of Love show. If you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in the show, we're going to open up questions. Well, pretty much all the time, we open up the social media Twitter handle. So if you have any questions, please feel free to tweet us at DDJ Foundation, the letters DDJ, the word Foundation, to contribute to today's show. Any comments, questions, stats, facts, anything you want to add, please feel free to do so via Twitter. We are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions and attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you are going through, saying that if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. Today's going to be a great show. We have Santa Barbara resident and author, and she actually has done many things. Miss Barbara, you know what? I made a mistake. I just spoke to her and didn't get the pronunciation of her last name.
Wow.
So should I go for it, or should I just wait for her to call and wait, right?
I would wait. Okay. Yeah, just don't butcher her name.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Miss Barbara, for now, is going to be joining us. An amazing lady with great energy and great optimism. So I'm excited for that show. But before we get into that, Taj, Terrell, do you guys want to share how your week went?
Taj, you can go first.
I don't even really remember. I think one of the things I went to see the new Tomb Raider, which was
actually, the movie.
Yeah, and I was, I must say that, you know, when you're pleasantly surprised, I was very much a skeptic of, I think her name's Alicia Vikander.
Okay.
I was one of those people that, like, I can't see her as Lara Croft, you know.
Right.
I didn't say it publicly, like, I didn't say it on Twitter because I don't think I should, but in my household, I was like, that's not Lara Croft. You know?
Right.
But I had even seen the new Tomb Raider games. Like, I loved playing them. And she does line in more with that. That's what they were going for.
Okay.
And I want to say that I was wrong. Completely wrong.
Oh, wow.
So was this a remake, or was this like a new series?
This is like, they rebooted the video game a couple, like in 2013. And this was kind of based on that. And I just,
So you liked
I was
the movie.
Pleasantly wrong. And she won me over, and I'm looking forward to a sequel.
Is this her first big movie?
No. Oh. She was in Machina, which...
I know that movie.
Yeah, she was great in that. She's been great in every... She's an Oscar winner.
So, okay, cool.
So it wasn't that, but it's just like, you know. So, yeah.
Nice.
I'm happy to be wrong.
Terrell?
What's going on?
Anything for your week, man? Anything you want to share?
We've been moving back. We're back in the house, and it's... so dusty. It's so bad. I've been coughing all week. But one of the major things, I think, was going through the storage and simplifying, trying to throw things out.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff that I have that I don't use.
Yeah.
Cables. I mean, I had stuff like SCSI drive. I just had things that were no longer needed. I mean, even if I wanted to use it, I'd have to eBay or go on Craigslist to find somebody that even has the drives to make it work. But got rid of a lot of that stuff and came across a lot of fun memories.
Good.
Old 3T stuff and then old childhood things with you guys. So I saw my old baseball jerseys. So some things are worth keeping, you know, but for the most part, if you're not using it, you got to let it go. You feel so much lighter. And then we had basketball this weekend. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, as always.
And then I had baseball with my boys, which has been playing. They've been doing well. I'm proud of them. Team has been a little bit hard because attendance has been, it's hard.
Yeah.
And as coach, you need notice. But other than that, I can't complain. I mean, I was about to say it's beautiful weather, which it is. I was about to say it's sunny, but it is not. But it's nice and raining. I'm sure you're happy.
Oh, I'm loving it. I really do like the rain.
Yeah, it is nice. For everyone that doesn't know, it's raining here in LA.
It's raining well.
It's
like it's a good amount.
It's a good amount.
It's a healthy amount, and it's going to rain for the next couple.
I'm happy that we, because I'm sure we always need the rain, but yeah. It definitely, we don't know how to drive in the rain. We don't know how to operate in the rain.
Who doesn't?
The LA people.
Yeah,
LA residents.
That's true. Well, you have to be safe driving.
I'm going to real quick talk about. Well, yesterday was actually Dee Dee's 10th birthday.
Yes.
So that was
sad.
You know what's so interesting was Dee Dee was like the first child where I got sad that they're getting older.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I like felt it. Like she's 10. You know what I mean? Like,
you didn't feel that with Royal when he started driving?
I mean, he's 18 now, and I still don't.
I felt it when he drove me somewhere.
Yeah. I didn't feel it, Terrell, because I feel like I see Dee Dee more maturing. But Royal still has some ways to go. So he's still, like, young to me. Where Dee Dee's
plus,
like,
he's a boy.
Plus, he's a boy. But Dee Dee's more, like, growing into a young lady. So it's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah.
But another big thing before we get on with the show that we have to discuss, we had a great board meeting.
Yes.
On Sunday. With
wonderful
board a lot meeting. Of great people. And again, we like to do it on our show every now and then. But we want to give a shout-out to all of our board members who make DDJ
incredible team.
A lot
incredible
of people
team.
Behind
yeah,
the
it's
energy.
It's not just us three. There's a whole group of people that are really supportive of our initiative and what we want to accomplish, and they're, you know, a big part of what makes us all go. So a big shout out to our board meeting and our board and a successful board meeting on Sunday. Okay. I think that was it, right? I did my disclaimer. I did the we're live. So now I guess we go right into the show. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Why not?
Okay. So with us, we have Santa Barbara resident, author. I'm going to just say, Barbara, you're with us, right?
I'm with you in soul, heart, and spirit.
All right, Barbara.
I love Barbara. Okay, so Barbara, I announced your name early in the show, but I didn't want to butcher your last name. So can
it's
you tell...
It's gone like Gone with the Wind. Barbara Gone-Mueller in Santa Barbara.
Okay, so that's an easy last name. I would have butchered it. So we have with us Barbara Gone-Mueller. Mueller.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm sorry. My best friend's last name is Miller.
No,
so
yeah, that's...
But, Barbara, I know you've listened to our show a couple of times. My brothers are on me all the time. They like to rib at me. So just work with us. But we had a good little conversation prior. You live in Santa Barbara area, right? You're currently there?
I do indeed, and we are experiencing another downfall of rain.
I'm telling you, Barbara, because yesterday I was driving home on the 405 and actually thought about that area because I knew another rainstorm was coming, and I don't remember it always being this, for lack of a better term, just this crazy for you guys down there. You have fires, you have rainstorms, you have mudslides. Am I right with all this?
Well, we're definitely in the news.
Yeah.
You know, Santa Barbara is, it's interesting. It's almost like Mother Earth is asking us to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
And what better place to pay attention but the home of Oprah Winfrey, the home of some of the people, Jimmy Connors.
You're right.
Get them to put some money behind maybe the climate that we need to protect.
Yeah.
You know, some of the earth is crying out, pay attention.
Yeah.
We can't go on the way we are, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I was actually just on Instagram last night, and I was looking through Leonardo DiCaprio's post, and he's really big on climate change and wondering why us as Americans just debated and why is it even a question where everywhere else in the world it's fact. So and
we close our eyes when profit is on the horizon, and I lived in Costa Rica with my late husband Dr. Robert Mueller, and we started the University for Peace. And we believe that if you make all the decisions that affect our planet in nature, you will not destroy the nature that we need for our food, for our air, for our whatever. We wouldn't be here without nature.
Mm-hmm.
So true. So true.
Robert, has it always been this tough down there where you live with the mudslides and the fires? It's just a new thing, right?
Yes, and it's very interesting because we expect these things to happen in Bangladesh. Mm-hmm. But no, it happened at our doorstep. Mm-hmm. In Bangladesh, you know, we send money, we send food, we send clothing. Huh, what are we going to send to these rich people who are now in hotels? We send them our sympathy and our empathy, and we ask them to do something. I would love to start a program called SOME, Save Our Mother Earth and United Nature.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and Barbara, just with the recent fires, those were, mm-hmm. I mean, those were worldwide news. We had a lot of listeners and supporters around the world worrying about us. And, you know, they hear Southern California, so they assume we were in it. But you were the really one.
Right.
You were the one who was in it.
Well, as I mentioned to you, it was because we had such a horrible drought and the earth could not absorb the rain as fast as it came. And that's where the problem was. It was in that dry dirt. We even had one of our newscasters pick up a hand of dirt and try to put some water in it. They couldn't. It was so dry that it wouldn't absorb the rain as it fell.
Mm. So this rain is really healthy for you. I mean, it's healthy for all of us in Southern California, mm-hmm. but especially where you're at, it's something that is needed. It just mm-hmm. needs, ideally, it would just come at a slower pace. Is that more
moderation?
If it came at a slower pace and more frequent. We have been experiencing the most dramatic climate change. Mm. You know, we're almost at the point now where we can't predict how the climate is going to be affecting. Look at the amount of hurricanes and tornadoes that increased. The atmosphere has shifted. Look at the snow in some of these countries and areas where it used to not snow but a couple inches. Now we're up 10 feet. What's going on here?
Yeah. Your home was spared in the fires. However,
right.
many residents around you were not.
Right.
What did?
And it was devastating to hear about people losing their homes, but the awful part was the smoke and the ash, and it was in the air. And my father was a fireman, and he would say, don't ever breathe that horrible smoky air because that's what gets in your lungs and you can't get it out.
Wow.
So we ran out of masks in Santa Barbara. And so my husband and I, we went to a Cascadero, and we bought baskets full of masks and handed them out to anybody we saw without a mask.
Mm. What did that do for you? How did that make you feel?
It gave me energy because I felt at least that I could do something, you know?
Yeah, it's beautiful. That's beautiful.
And the people would tell me their stories. The mask was really like a vehicle for them to open up and say, I know my friend lost her home. Or my girlfriend, literally my girlfriend, was washed away later on by the flood. And so when I gave these masks to people prior to the flood, they would say, well, we've been impacted. Everybody's been impacted by this horrible fire. I mean, if you drove down the 101 and you look to your left, not at the ocean side, as you go into Ventura, there's nothing left. Those fires devastated the whole mountainside. There's nothing there.
Wow. One thing, okay, real quick, Barbara, because I see in your bio you won the Spirit of the UN Award.
I did. Thank you for noticing.
That is so cool. Can you explain what that is?
Well, let me just give you a little bit of history. My late husband was Dr. Robert Mueller. He was the Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations. He wanted to be a peacemaker. He was born in Alsace-Lorraine in the war-torn Germany, France. One minute they were Germans, the next minute they were French, and then they were Germans, and then they were French. His father changed uniforms 5 times without moving because they were always fighting. And he said, when I grow up, I'm going to be a peacemaker. And his father said, I pity you, young man. There's no such thing as a peacemaker. And he said, I'm going to work for peace. I can't stand war, especially when cousins were shooting each other. They had the same last name, eating the same last amount of food. But they were shooting each other because I don't know why people shoot each other. I'll be honest.
Mm.
War doesn't work. Why don't we learn from that? So, long story short, my husband died in 2010. he had spent 40 years working at the United Nations and retired in Costa Rica. So after he died, have you ever heard that the spirit of the departed doesn't leave? He wouldn't leave. I could feel his presence in my house. It was like he was so earthbound. He didn't think we could handle the problems on our planet without him. He wrote 40 books. 7,000 Ideas for a Better World. Look up Robert Mueller, MULLER.org. Every day we give out one of these ideas on goodmorningworld.org so people can begin to understand from the point of view of the United Nations what they can do. Long story short, I just felt he was always there in the house, even though he had died and we had buried him. And my good friend, Nancy Martin, said to me, "Oh, just go to do what Robert would do. Go up there to San Francisco on the United Nations anniversary and make a speech." Well, that speech went around the world, and they invited me for the 70th anniversary to the United Nations to give a speech about spirituality in the UN, and they gave me the award, the Spirit of the UN. And am I not honored by that?
I can only imagine. That's amazing. That is so amazing.
Well, I think all of us have these amazing things deep inside of us. If we come from love and not from fear, we can do amazing. Look at you three boys. Mm. I am so in awe of you that you took this pain that you experienced, and look what you're doing. You're spreading the goodness of the three of you and the message on talk radio. Yeah. I give you accolades and a lot of love for that.
We appreciate that, Barbara. And we hear that from a lot of our guests, and it always feels good to hear that, you know. And I don't think it was a really that much of a conscious decision. It just felt right to do it. I think similar to what you said with your late husband, you know, our late mother, it was something where we wanted her legacy and her love to live on and to do something, you know, positive in her name. So I think that's where
it
came from.
You said something really powerful. You said we felt it was the right thing to do. Mm. I truly believe that each of us have a knowing inside. We know what the right thing to do is, but our brains or our ego or somebody else will talk us out of it. Mm. But you didn't let anybody talk you out of this. You proceeded forward, not knowing exactly how it was going to look, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But when you know you're doing the right thing, the universe will support you. Yeah. I wonder if people get that, because we struggle too much. Life isn't supposed to be a struggle. It's supposed to be joy-filled.
Yeah.
And the struggle is something that somebody said, it's pain is good for you. My foot, it is not. Let's get on with making happiness our byline. And I'm not talking the happiness from a can of beer or from a silly TV show. I'm talking about that happiness that's inside, that you can spread with a smile, that you can be present for someone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, I have a question for you. When others are in tribulation, in difficult times, in, you know, they're in strife, what from what I know about you, you're strong in bringing peace to them. Is there any go-to ways you go about that? Is there anything you do? What's your approach to bringing peace to others that need it?
I think my number one rule is to be present. To be present in that moment. I'll give you an example. When the fires raged around our location, a lot of people were evacuated. We had people housed in our extra bedroom. But that wasn't the worst part. It was when the floods came and they took people out of their homes. My friends were rescued through their windows. My friend said, "My son will never get over this. When the things he saw, the news has not told you the tragedies that were actually going on with the boulders that were knocking people out and finding them covered in mud." I remember watching the TV and them carrying a stretcher with a young girl on it. I couldn't believe it. My heart was broken. Mm. This young girl drowned in the mud because she didn't evacuate like they told her to. So I said to myself, as I was driving home after dropping off my dear friend, Steak for lunch, I said, what can I do? And you know, it was like my car started driving to the Goleta Hilton because I knew they were there. And I said, but what can you do, Barbara? You're safe. I just said, I'm going to go in. And if they're there, I'm going to be present. I went in the door, and there they were crying, talking to their insurance carriers, just in panic. And I said, I'm here. And a lot of them know me because I'm president of the United Nations Association. Mm-hmm. And they know me because I write articles. Every time I find something that needs to be said, like if they put a new stop sign somewhere, I'll write a letter to the editor. Beware, there's a new stop sign. Keep my name out there so people will remember me. So they said, oh, hi, Barbara. It's like, okay. And I said, I'm here. And I didn't say anything other than that. And they started to talk. And they started to cry. And we sat on the sofa. One by one, they just came up. And I stood and I witnessed their pain. I couldn't say, oh, this will get better. No. I had to be a witness to their pain, to their sorrow. And then after an hour or two, I said, what do you want me to do? And the simplest thing, go to Kmart, buy us a pair of pajamas, buy us a toothbrush. I could do that. And then they wanted to pay, and I said, no way. This is my gift, and all I can do is be here for you, and you call me. I gave them my card. You need anything, I'm available.
That's a
so you stand in the presence of the pain, and I have a formula too. If your best friend is in trauma, I have some formulas that work out of that book, Revolutionary Conversation.
Yeah.
And if we have time, I'll share them with you.
We do. I was gonna. First of all, thank you for sharing that. It's something that we've actually learned, because I was always confused on what to do. You know, when a friend or acquaintance is going through a tough time. What do I do? Mm-hmm. Do I avoid them? Do I give them their space? Do I say nothing? Do I, you know, so, and what you told us is something that, you know, everyone has said is the right thing to do, is just simply be there.
Be present.
Be present. And say, I'm sorry. You don't have to say, I can do it. Just say, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So I appreciate you sharing that. And without further ado, let's go into your book, Revolutionary Conversations. How did that?
It's Revolutionary Conversations, the tools you need for the success you want. And I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No,
what was your question?
No. How did that come about? The book.
I'm very lucky. I was with Robert Mueller for 17 years, and times we had peace negotiations. I was lucky enough to be there, and they didn't work. People were still arguing about, well, this isn't right, this isn't right. And they never looked at what they agreed on. And so I watched that, and I realized that if people do not come alongside the person who's next to them or the person they're warring with, we're never going to have peace. So I took the simple little concept of coming alongside with Mark Fowler and Noel McDonald, my co-authors, and we went to UCLA and taught the course with Gloria Axelrod. And we saw people begin to use the formula. And I'll tell you what it is. It is so simple.
Yeah.
The first step you do is you're with somebody who's going through trauma or they're very upset. You just stop. Just like you do at a stop sign. You stop. And you don't go forward and say, I'm sorry, or what can I do? You just stop and be present, because you don't go forward until it's safe. And when they calm down, you just say, I'm here. And let them talk. They will talk, believe me.
Yeah.
If that's the gift that you give them, is that 5 minutes, 10 minutes, they'll talk. And then you might say in the next step, stop, help. Can I help? I need some help. May I ask you a question, which is the third step. Stop, help, ask, and the next one is risk. I'm going to take a risk. It sounds like that you've had so many issues that you can't decide what to do first. Is that correct? And you just keep having these conversations. And then finally you say, well, would it be okay if we explore some possible solutions, without saying, well, my mother told me, now it's time for you to get up by your bootstraps and let's get this thing solved. No way. This person's in trauma, in pain. You witness their pain and you be present. That's all you have to do. Be present. You'll know what to do. You'll know what to do if you don't condemn or belittle them or judge them. Judgment is the hardest of all sins. judging another person. You haven't walked in their shoes, right?
That's right. It's very powerful stuff. Very powerful stuff.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope I'm not talking too much.
No, you're
not. No, not at all. No, not at all.
Ask the right questions, and then I get off on my soapbox.
No, it's great. You're educating us and our listeners. That's what we want.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm guilty.
You.
I'm guilty of that. And it's not that I don't care, but when a friend loses someone or when they're dealing with loss, I don't usually know how to handle it. I've been better now, even just doing the show. I've gained some tools. And actually, this past week, a friend had lost someone, so I reached out a lot more. And even today, I text and try to be present and let her know that I'm here, you know. And even still today, I don't know exactly what to say. And I even said that I don't know really what to say. I just want you to know I'm thinking of you, and you know, she appreciated that. And I'm still learning myself, but it's better. I feel it's better than what I would have done, which is, you know, send my condolences and then just stay quiet and wait for them to reach out. Because a lot of times they won't, you know.
Boy, you said something there. Waiting for the call, waiting for them to reach out. No way. You're the big guy here. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait.
Yeah, it's difficult. And I just remember when we lost our mother, I remember a lot of people would reach out to me and send their condolences. I still have my, back then there was an answering machine, and I still have my tapes. You know, a lot of people, the calls would pour in and people would send their condolences. And, you know, it's nice, you know, because people are thinking and you have their support. But it's a strange time when you lose someone close to your life. And
it's hard.
Yeah, you're
hard.
Lost. You're really lost.
It's really hard.
And, some,
and I think we're powerful people. I do. Mm-hmm. I think we were born with a destiny, and I think our destiny is to be there for others. Mm-hmm. In that unity, I told you a story when you called me about the father whose five boys kept fighting. All they did was fight, and he just got so sick of their fighting because this were his precious sons born out of love. So he got this bundle of sticks together, and he said, okay, I'm going to give you $10,000, whichever one of you can break this bundle. So he can't, boy by boy, none of them could break this bundle of sticks. Then he took the bundle back, and he took one stick out at a time and gave it to each boy, and he said, now break it. And they could do it.
That's right.
And they looked at each other, and they realized that they had to be a unit and unified together and not fight, because that's, in unity we have this kind of a perfect world. That's why I want the United Nations to be so successful. The united world that works for all. It's not just me, it's everybody, the people. And I feel everybody's pain when those little girls in Bangladesh don't have clothes to wear or food to eat. I feel the pain. We are one.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question, Barbara? How do you're very empathetic. How do we develop that more in our people? Just in people in general?
I really appreciate that question, empathy. I'm going to give you a story about a CEO of a hospital. He went to the hospital with the job of firing 10 people. But before he fired them, and they were having budget cuts, that's why he had to fire them, he walked in their shoes. He watched them wheelchair people to their rooms. And saw them laughing and talking and encouraging these people who may have been suffering from cancer, who may not have had a long time to live. He watched the nurses who were taking care of the patients cheer them up and continue to give them hope. He saw people who were cleaning their rooms, smiling and whistling. And he realized that many of these people without this job would not be able to make their payments. Mm-hmm. So with his E in empathy, CEO, he stood in front of all of the employees, and he said, I have this task that I have to let some of you go. But what could we do? I saw my friends, the employees, taking such good care of each other. Is there something we can do? We might, if I have to let some people go, I can do that. But would there be another way? What if the people at the top took a 3% decrease in a raise, and I gave the people at the bottom the jobs that they came here with? And the whole audience erupted, and they said, we'll give them 5%. We don't want to lose anybody. he had E in empathy, C-E-O, and he said he couldn't talk after that. The tears were pouring out of his eyes. He then said, thank you. And he said, I know you are smarter than I am about this. I will take every email. He said he was getting 100 emails a day from his employees with ideas. I will take a sick day less. I will not go on vacation this year. I will work harder. I want everybody to be here. And he unified the whole hospital. Now, how did I get my empathy? I'm very close to old people. My mother and dad immigrated from Hungary. And when we had our grandma around, we always took care of grandma. We took care of the neighbors. We took the fruit from our tree to the neighbors. We just were a kind family because my parents were so grateful to not be in war-torn Hungary. And so that gratitude allowed the empathy in their children and allowed empathy in their lives. And sometimes I say to my dad, oh, Dad, quit taking plums to poor people. I'm not going to quit taking plums to poor people. I am going to give him $20, too. And my husband would say, no. And my dad was this big heart. My dad, Clarence Lane, invented the hug coupon. Can you believe that?
What did he invent?
The hug coupon.
Oh.
He was a Baptist. And every Sunday, he would be the greeter at church. And these little old ladies would stand in line for a half hour to get hugged by my dad.
Oh.
And so he said, I'm going to create the hug coupon. Jesus loves you. And that's my dad.
That is
so cool.
So
he created this little tiny coupon, and he gave to all these women and said, even when I'm not in church, you can give me this coupon, and I'll give you a hug.
That's beautiful. So, Barbara, for our listeners and everyone listening, it seems like we're living in a time that, at least it appears, to be quite more divisive than it should be. That's the way I interpret it. What would you suggest us to unify better?
There's a couple of thoughts that come to my mind. One is, pay attention, and you know this is true. We can't call it what it is, and we can't say peace is around the corner. But you can make your voice count. I went to a lecture recently by a man named John Deere. He was a Franciscan priest. And he said, don't call me Father Deere, because I don't want to be Father Deere. Call me John. But I want to tell you something that I have learned in my 45 years of conscientious activism. And I said, what the heck is that? And he said, let me tell you. Conscientious activism is putting your thoughts into action. Maybe it's standing still. He said, I've been arrested 45 times with the best. I've been arrested with Martin Luther King. I've been arrested with Gandhi because I stood with them and in their pain. So when Martin Luther King came to town, Deere was John Deere. He was with, now John Deere's getting pretty old now. You know that because Martin Luther King died quite a while back. But the point he made was put your voice where your thoughts are. I write letters to the editor. I just told you that. I write letters. I write editorials. They're not perfect, but I wrote an editorial recently, and make your vote count. Vote for the people who are in your favor. If you want to have no more guns, vote for people who are not supported by the NRA.
Right.
Have the NRA list the people they give money to. Have it in a newspaper. Do what you know you want to happen to your voice, to your action.
So I think a lot of people feel that their voice won't make a difference because it's just one voice, but you have to go for it, and you have to do what you feel is right, because I do think there's a ripple effect. I do think everyone has an influence, and can, you know, you never know where that influence can lead. You know, you may just convince
that's
a sister or
point.
A friend
excellent.
Or a coworker. Yeah. And they may influence, you know, an influencer. So you never know. And
You never know.
Yeah.
What your voice, if you were standing in the grocery store, I always go to the longest line. Why? Because it gives me more time to observe what's going on in the grocery store. Somebody might need my peace. I always smile. I just think that's one of the biggest compliments you can give to another human being is to smile at them.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example. I always carry cough drops because it's cough drop season. And if somebody's coughing and I say, well, would you like a couple of cough drops? They think I've given them $50. You know, it's
great. It's beautiful, though.
Or
I love it.
In the airport, I always carry M&Ms. And I do that because I do a lot of traveling, because I speak a lot about peace. The time for peace is now, and it's up to us to make it happen, and here's how. So I do a lot of speaking. And when I do that, I carry these little M&Ms in the airport, because parents get really upset with their children in airports. It's a kind of a time of hurry, 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 let's get to the airplane. So I always stop, and I ask the parent if they would like a package of M&Ms. And they just about faint. And I say, and if you would like to, you can give a couple to your kids. Well, the whole family's attitude about life changes with a little package of those little M&Ms that you give out at Halloween time.
That is great. Mm-hmm. That is great. Mm-hmm. And for everyone listening, if you want some of that energy and that love that Barbara has, the theme I've already taken away is Barbara gives a lot. And I think giving back and helping others is one of the main tricks to being a happier and more positive person. And I think, Barbara, you are just spewing out perfect examples of that. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate
that. I try to tell the stories, because it's the stories that will remind us of what we need to do. You know, mm-hmm. And I thank you for noticing that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm president of the UNASB.org. That's UNASB.org, which is my chapter. Maybe people might want to look at the United Nations associations in their town. Become part of the solutions to some of our global problems. We handle the one. We don't have all the answers, but we have the conversation about listening to each other. We just found out we had human trafficking in Santa Barbara. When we went to the people who we thought were human trafficking, we thought, they're not going to pay attention to us. And so we went to the jack-in-the-box that was right next to him, and they said, yeah, the guy in the black car drops them off every day. And we said, what? So we did a whole lecture about what is human trafficking and what can you do? And we gave everybody the 800 number. If you think somebody's in human trafficking and they need help, dial this number. You don't have to get involved, but maybe you'll save a life.
Mm. Wow.
You're big, Barbara, on community. And the power of community getting together to make change.
Right.
Have you always been there, or is that something you've learned by being the president of the United Nations Association?
Well, I've always had a close family. My father and mother and three girls. We even had foster kids. So I've always had others around who needed us. So I've always believed, and my mother was a great Hungarian chef. You know, she could cook anything. Mm-hmm. So these foster kids and the people that we had, my mother, she wasn't rich. So she had boarders. She had foster kids. And I was raised with three or four extra people at the table every night. And grandma, my grandma, she would say when she was raised, when the Depression was on, and she said they would sit down for dinner, and a bum would come by, or a homeless person, she would say, God sent you, come in and share our one chicken. And my dad would say, I don't want to share a chicken with that old bum. And my grandma would say, God sent him, come right in. And so we've always had this in our DNA to be sharing.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
That's great.
That is.
Taj, you guys have anything? Yeah.
I just, for me, I'm just hearing everything and hearing you, Barbara, I just want to commend you. Like, it's just, I mean, in terms of just being such a sharing person, I mean, it's something that it is true. Like, we as people, we need to do more in terms of helping each other, because I feel that it's the way that we're pitted against each other in this. It's kind of the mindset of, I can't get somewhere because I have to go over you to kind of, you know, climb over someone, when in reality it's not that at all. It's like we should be supporting each other and helping each other, but it's just mindset.
It's really hard for people to acknowledge another person's goodness or something that they achieved.
Yeah.
And yet when you do that, when somebody, let's say that you maybe were wanting something that they got, and you come up and you say, wow, I'm so impressed. Now, that doesn't mean that you're thrilled that you didn't get what they got, but you can be with them in their joy. Mm, you know, I somebody said to me one time, I'm working on the Declaration of Peace. I want a Universal Declaration of Peace, just like the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that Eleanor Roosevelt did. And as I was thinking about the Universal Declaration of Peace, I read in some little book, it said, joy is a special kind of wisdom. And so when I talk to anybody on the phone, wherever they are, or on the radio, I just think about that word joy, that I'm alive, and I get to spread my joy. And that was my late husband, Robert. He was called the Optimist of the United Nations. He started as an intern. Remember, he said when he was 3 years old, he wanted to be a peacemaker, and his dad said, I pity you, young man. He won the essay contest that the United Nations put out. The United Nations Association at the University of Strasbourg said, whoever wins this essay contest gets a free internship at the United Nations. And that was his dream. Go back to your dreams. What is your dream when you were a little boy or when you were in high school? What did you dream about? Look at these dreamers on our planet. Bill Gates, he was a dreamer.
Yeah.
Look at the richest people on our planet. They're dreamers.
Yeah.
Follow your dream.
Beautiful. Okay, so you wrote, Barbara, you wrote Revolutionary Conversations, The Tools You Need for the Success You Want. What
right.
is some basic conversation tips you would give to me? What would you if suggest me
I
to
do? I would
just
say, you already have it. You have the gift of questioning. You have the gift of being present. To me, again, I go back to those steps. The first step is with you're with somebody stranger. I'll give you an example. I have a new man in my life, Darling Stig, from Norway. He also was a Nazi survivor, and he speaks five languages. But he and I met after my husband had died and his wife had died. And I thought, oh, I've had enough husband. I don't need any more. I had a beautiful marriage. Stig had a beautiful marriage. And one night my girlfriend said, come with me to the Elks Club. I have never been to the Elks Club in my life. But she said, come on, you've got to go to the Elks Club. And I said, okay, I'm coming. So I went to the Elks Club, and I'm a Rotarian, and Stig's a Rotarian, and they were having a Rotarian cocktail party there that night. And he comes up to me and he says, may I buy you a glass of wine? And I thought, geez, I wasn't even going to drink tonight, but okay, buy me a glass of wine. That's about as enthusiastic as I was. And he said, good. And he sat down next to me. And for the next 2 hours, we couldn't stop talking.
That's beautiful.
We became talking buddies. And about 3 weeks later, he had been, you know, coming over and doing all these other things. He comes over with a bouquet of red roses. And I said, Stig, what do you want? He said, I want a girlfriend. I'm trying to impress you, you know.
He
said, I don't want a boyfriend. And he said, and he just couldn't say a word because he wanted a girlfriend. He didn't want any girlfriend. He wanted me to be his girlfriend. So he went home and he drove around for a couple hours, and then I got to thinking about the book I just wrote. I didn't even ask the question, what kind of girlfriend do you want? So I called him up and I said, Stig, I owe you an apology. You put your heart on your sleeve. You said you wanted a girlfriend, and I didn't even say, what kind of girlfriend do you want? So may I ask you, what kind of girlfriend do you want? And you know what he did? He explained it to me. I said, oh, see, I can do that. I just don't want to get married again. He said, neither do I. And we've been together 5 years.
That is so beautiful.
That's such a great story.
That is awesome.
What if I wouldn't have asked him what kind of girlfriend he
That's
wanted?
That's right.
I would have lost this love of my life.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. Can I ask you, it may be a bit personal, but I have to ask you, Barbara. When you lost,
you may ask.
When you lost your husband, Dr. Mueller, did you think you would, you did say that you didn't think you would want to be in another relationship. Is that right?
Right. Right.
What was it? Was it just your friend, or was it just something like a subconscious or a non-conscious decision that brought you with, is it Stig? Is that how you say his name? I don't want to mess up his name.
His name is Stig Watney.
Okay.
And it was two things. After my husband died, I was really sad.
Yeah.
I was so sad because he had given his life for the world, and he had created so many ways that we could make the world better. And I said, but we still don't have peace. We still are not talking to our neighbors. We still are isolated. And then my girlfriend, who had been president of the United Nations Association, called me up and she said, well, I have a gift for you. My board decided we would like to nominate you as president of the United Nations Association. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it because we still don't have peace on the planet, and I can do the work my husband started. And I said yes. Now, you have to say yes sometimes, even though you don't know exactly what you're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm,
and if you can't do it, then you say no. But if you're going to say yes, say it with enthusiasm. So I said, okay, I'll do it. She was so enthusiastic that I said, okay, I'll do it. At the next board meeting, they voted me in, and two minutes after that, I was the president. And then I was invited to do things, because when you are sad, get in, volunteer somewhere.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's husband died, and I was already president of the United Nations Association. I said, I know this is a sad time for you, but would you consider helping us with our next event? Get those people who lost somebody an opportunity to again be significant. I think the secret after somebody dies is don't hollow around, walk around in your house and be sad forever. Get out and volunteer. Go to the grocery store, buy some food, take it to a home that needs food, take it to a Unity church. Get involved, and then your sadness kind of takes a back seat to your work. You're busy now. And so when Sig and I got together, he was a Lutheran, I'm a Catholic, and then he was a Presbyterian, and I'm still a Catholic, and he started bringing me to the Presbyterian church, and I said, this is community. Now I'm a Presbyterian, but it was because I was open to it. I didn't say Presbyterian, I'm a Catholic, heck no. But no, and this is like a new family, and we get to share every Sunday something that's working in our lives so that others can be informed.
That's very powerful and great advice and great stuff. I think you're right on. When we lose someone, a lot of times, or anything of significance, a lot of times we kind of like get into our little shell, isolate ourselves,
shut down.
And I think that's, you're 100% right. We need to encourage each other to get out there and be part of something, because in community...
Right, and you can't do it real fat forcefully. You just say, you know what? I'm going to go down to the food bank. Would you like to come down and help me put food in bags, and let's take them out, and let's take a turkey over to a poor... Well, of course they're going to say yes, but you've got to be with them. They're going to tell you things. They're going to say, the worst part of my life was when my husband died. Okay, talk about that. Your husband was wonderful. Tell me all about it. What did you love about him? And let them tell you. They'll get over their pain just by talking.
Yeah. And it's interesting, because I think a lot of people assume that by them talking, they're sitting in it more. You know, like they're getting stuck in it. But the reality is, by talking, they're getting it out. And
healing.
They're healing, you know. And that's something that is very important to understand.
It's awful when a person suffers. You know, that's our empathy coming out. We feel sad. But in reality, we sometimes have to be the strong person. We have to be the one that might be there for them. For instance, let me tell you, one of my people on my board called. Now, what was it like when your daughter shut down and didn't want to talk to you anymore? I said, it was painful. And she said, I'm going through it now. Give me some advice. And I said, are you sure you want advice? I said, well, what do you think? And then I said, what about if you just stood next to your daughter and said, I'd like to hear what's going on. Not that you love her. How could you do this? I'm your mother. I gave you birth. I fostered this. Don't go there. Just say, I'm here. Could you tell me a little about what's going on? She says, no. Say, no. Repeat what they say. If they say yes, then sit down. Don't have your iPhone there. Don't take a phone call. Give them that gift of your presence. My two children always would say, Mom, you were the best mom. I said, but I was hardly there. I was working two jobs. But when you were with us, you were with us. And that's the gift of a parent to a child.
Well said, Barbara. Well said. Barbara, okay, we have to close the show. We have a couple minutes. What we like to do is give our guests the final 30 seconds to say, share whatever they want to the world.
Any takeaway,
anything you want to share to our listeners, we got 30 seconds for you to do so. You ready?
First, I am ready. And first, I want to have such gratitude for you three boys. You make me proud as a mom.
Secondly,
I want to wish everybody peace. And I want to say that peace begins with me and starts with the conversation. And I know that, because I've been with people who are war-torn victims, and if I have that conversation, I've talked to people who have been incarcerated wrongly, and I still have that conversation. I don't tell them they're right or wrong, but I'm present to hear their pain. witness the pain of others, and peace will begin with you. And keep that smile ever on your face.
Well said. Look, look at Barbara. Barbara's... I love it. No,
I'm going to adopt you, boy.
It's such powerful message, and we don't hear enough of it in our world, you know? So I'm so thankful that you came on and shared your message. If any listeners want to learn more about Barbara, you can go to www.revolutionaryconversations.net. Of course, Barbara authored the book Revolutionary Conversations, The Tools You Need for the Success You Want. And on behalf of my brothers, Barbara, we want to thank you for joining us, because your stories were all excellent, and you just gave...
Inspiring.
Very inspiring, and you just gave... I can speak for myself. You gave me some really cool memories and things to hold on to as I continue on in this life. And
thank you.
You know, and I really want to thank you, because I think, like I said, the message needs to get out there more. And your love and your love of giving to others, I think, is so reflective of why you're such an upbeat, positive person. So, for all our listeners,
you are so special. Gosh, thank you. You call me anytime. I'll be on your show. I love you guys.
It's the truth, though, Barbara. You know, you're such an upbeat person, and you're one of the guest of ours that has been so giving. You know, and it reflects in who you are. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, anything else? So that was Barbara.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. If they really want a few more ideas, they can always email me, barbara@rain.org, barbara@rain.org, and I answer my email.
Ooh.
Because I know people have ideas they want to share with me. They may have a question. I just answer my emails. If we have that electronic force, we might as well use it for good.
That's right. Barbara, one more time. It's Barbara Rain, B-A-R-B-A.
Barbara. Go ahead.
One more time, say the email address.
Barbara, barbara@rain.org. And just say, I listen to you on talk radio, and I'll be answering your email first.
I love it.
That's wonderful.
Barbara.
Thank you so much.
Barbara, thank you for joining us, and you stay dry and you stay safe out there, okay?
Thank you. Right. Thank you for the program that you are opening for so many people who need healing and peace.
Well, thank you for contributing to it, Barbara. And take care and have a good week, okay?
Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Such a great...
That was great, yeah.
...energy.
Yeah.
I have to develop that. Mm-hmm. All right, that was a good show.
Very good.
I love that show. Really impactful, really inspiring. Todd, do you have anything? I see you looking through stuff.
No, I mean, the listeners were just commenting on how her energy and how...
It's great, man.
You know...
One thing I want to say, you have that choice. Each of us has that choice to give great energy or give, you know, dull energy. Let's be like Barbara.
Yeah.
Let's do what Barbara would do and give good energy and be there for each other. On behalf of the bros, we want to thank everyone for listening and contributing. Again, a special shout out to our board. And that's pretty much it. We will see you guys next Wednesday, or hear from you guys next Wednesday.
Yes.
From 1 to 2. Anything else, Taj, Terrell?
Stay positive.
Stay positive and enjoy your life. Adios.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.